on the west side, the west side. Some call it the best side.
Come on. All right, all right. Good afternoon, everybody. Can you hear me loud and clear? Paul? All right. Wonderful, everybody. Welcome back to the Ricky Hendon Radio Show. I apologize for the late start. We had some technical difficulties as this is the first show that I've done via clean feed, so remotely. And I usually am in the studio, but just a couple errors there. But we are on. We are live. We're making it work. Hopefully, we're coming in nice and clear. With that said, we have a great show for you here today. As you all know, I typically like to start the show with a clip, something that was a little bit of a highlight from the week. And so, Paul, if you want to go ahead and play that clip, we'll do that, and then we'll get into the show.
Moments ago, Georgia's Republican Secretary of State confirming that Joe Biden won that state.
I'm a passionate conservative, and as I've said before, I'm a proud Trump supporter. I was with him early in the 2016 election cycle, and he's governed the nation by the same conservative principles that I hold dear. Like other Republicans, I'm disappointed our candidate didn't win Georgia's electoral votes. Close elections sow distrust. People feel their side was cheated. We saw this from the Democrats in 2018, and we see this from Republicans today. Working as an engineer throughout my life, I live by the motto that numbers don't lie. As Secretary of State, I believe that the numbers that we have presented today are correct.
All right. And so that was a clip from the Georgia Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, just kind of talking about the state of, you know, their race, right? And them certifying the results. And, you know, he's come under a lot of pressure for literally just doing the right thing, but he literally come out and said, hey, guys, you know, I'm a Trump supporter. I've been with him since the very beginning. I'm just doing my job. I'm doing it fair and free. And, you know, don't put me under too much fire. It's really crazy that we're in a position where he has to come out and make a public statement like that in front of the world. But here we are, right? And so the last time I was on the show was actually before the election. So since then, quite a lot has changed. And we'll get into all of that. But just to open up the show here real quick and go through what we're going to be talking about, we are going to talk about the state of the country since the election. We're going to talk about the all-important Georgia Senate races. There are two of them that are going to potentially impact how everything is done in at the federal level for the next several years. So those are so important for Democrats to win those if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris want to get any of their agenda done. We're going to talk about why the polling got it so wrong in 2020. The polling is actually off more than it was in 2016. We'll talk about the impact of Trump's unwillingness to concede. And we'll also talk about local community engagement with my brother, my actual brother, Tamar Watkins, will be joining us on the show. My brother on my father's side, right? And so, some of you all may have seen him in the community over the years. You know, he's maybe not somebody that's as much in the kind of a spotlight with it, if you will, like I am, you know, jumping in front of cameras and things like that and making sure I'm on the show. But he is absolutely somebody that, you know, has done so much good work. We'll talk about him and his organization, Sanu. And then we'll wrap up the show talking about the handling of COVID with the holidays approaching. How's that sound, Paul? Good.
Sounds great.
Sounds great. Awesome. So with that said here, let me just get a little organized, make sure we're good to go. I do have a couple ads that I have to tackle as well, just some ads that I read. So my auntie Shabita Carter is having an event with the Anointed Harvesters. It's a virtual screening of a dramatic comedy. The comedy is called The Wannabes, an original screenplay, and this is playing November 27th at 7 p.m. So you can feel free to check out the organization to get more details, but you want to go to the Anointed Harvesters. Just Google the Anointed Harvesters, go to their webpage, and you can see an incredible screenplay called The Wannabes. Feel free to look that up and attend again on November 27th at 7 p.m. The second one that I have for you is a good friend of ours is selling a condo in Oak Park. It is a two-bedroom, one-and-a-half-bathroom condo. Really, really lovely, right at Harlem and Lake. And so if you want to look at a nice property with a, in-unit washer and dryer combo, garage, et cetera, feel free to contact Nicole at 630-400-8337. Again, contact Nicole at 630-400-8337 for a beautiful property in Oak Park. Paul, a lot has changed since we last talked, brother.
Yeah, yeah.
So much has gone on. I do want to check and see, is Tamar on one of the listener lines?
No, not yet.
Not yet? Okay. Well, we will work on that and see if we can get him on. He said he just texted me. He's about 10 minutes out. So he'll come on and talk about his organization. But with that said, had to take care of our advertisers, and now we can get into it. So it has been a crazy whirlwind the last couple weeks. I had the show prior to the election where we just talked about stability and just, you know, how to, you know, maintain our country in the wake of all this. The Saturday after that was my father's show, so he came on. That's kind of his natural point where I'll do three or four shows and then he'll do one. And then the following Saturday, last Saturday, I was actually in Arizona for a wedding. And this is something that I think is really important to talk about just because a lot of people aren't traveling right now. A lot of people are saying to stay home and that should be the only focus. And I did decide to go to this wedding, and it was some friends of mine, a friend of mine from college, and it was a really lovely time. And we were in Arizona, and one of the things about it that stood out to me most is that she is a massive, massive Trump supporter. And most of the people at the wedding, I think, were as well. So it was an interesting time to be there, but ultimately it was a reminder to me that we're really not as divided as we think we are. Right? This is an entirely contentious time. Obviously, I'm someone who's extremely liberal, and she is a big Trump supporter, but I found a way to be there for her and for my friends and to make things work. And I think that's the most important way that we actually go about healing the divide, so-called divide that we have in our nation, is just by being there for each other. Don't delete your friends on Facebook. Have conversations with them. Have dialogue. Yes, we didn't talk politics much at the wedding, but at the end of the day, she knows that I'm there for her and I have her back and vice versa. And so I think it's important to pay attention to that and just be there for your friends regardless of what background they come from. Now, with that said, if you are going to do things like that, if you are going to celebrate the holidays, it's important to be responsible about it. So right now, the reason I'm doing this show from home, even though I really, really don't like doing it from home, well, it's my first time, but I like being in the studio, the reason I'm doing it this way is because I'm quarantining, because I was down there and I'm going to go see my family for Thanksgiving. The day after I got back, I took a COVID test, right, just to make sure, and I'll get those results back before I fly out to California to see my mom and my sister and everyone else. So the point I'm trying to make is, be there for your people, be responsible during these holiday times, and just make sure that regardless of what's going on politically, that we continue to spread love, we continue to have each other's backs and have that dialogue. Don't just cut people off. What do you think about that, Paul? Is that something you think we could all do a little bit more?
I think it's very diplomatic of you.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, so let's get into it a little bit deeper here. Where were we going to go next with this? Let me pull it up. And I'm sorry, I'm so disheveled, guys. It's just the opening of the show. Let's do this. We have some callers that have called in, Paul?
Yeah, we have Michael O'Connor who wants to talk about the election.
Michael O'Connor, we'll bring you on, sir. And with that said, everybody, if you are listening right now, feel free to call in to our listener number. It's 773-763-9278. Again, 773-763-9278. We love when people are a part of the show. We try our best to get to all of our guests, and it also just helps us have a better dialogue as well as we're discussing these things. But with that said, let's go to Michael's call. Michael, good friend, long-time caller of the show. Welcome to back to the show, and I'm glad to be talking with you. What's going on, brother?
Hi. Good afternoon. It's good to hear your voice. I noticed that concerning the election, it looks like history is repeating itself. In 1869 was the last time that there was a problem in terms of certification. Not the last time, but the first time in the United States history where there was a problem with certifications of elections. And that was the compromise that was dealt with that brought in Andrew Johnson. If you look at what happened, you'll notice that it was the southern states that, because at the time, African-Americans were voting, and there was such a violent reaction. The Klans was, you know, they were stopping black folks from voting. That compromise brought in Andrew Johnson. Now we got almost, 200 years, or at least 100 and something years later, and we're dealing with a president who lost. With even though 73 million people voted for him, the guy lost, and he's going around in court with Giuliani with hair dripping, hair dye dripping down his face, standing in the RNC headquarters, basically saying that there needs to be a recount, and specifically recounts in black areas in a different state. Specifically in Michigan, Wayne County is African-American and Latinos, the majority. They're doing the same thing in Pennsylvania. And what they've done in Georgia is outrageous. So we're seeing history repeat itself. But you got to know that it's history. It's actually political science history. And I believe
Americans don't know it. Gotcha. And that's a great point to bring up the fact that these things happen before, you know, these things happen, right? History does repeat itself. What we're seeing, while maybe unprecedented for us, you know, these things happen around the world all the time too, not just in America. So it's important to understand when our democracy is under attack and know how to pivot and know how to respond to that. And I'm glad you bring that up, because that's actually one of the things that I want to talk about here. And I think a lot of that goes back to the divisiveness. So feel free to stick with me here, but I'll just go through some numbers here. A Political and Morning Consult poll found that of about 2,000 people found that 60% of the country thought the election was free and fair. Only 60%. I mean, that is a problem. 39% said it was definitely fair. 21% said it was probably fair. 13% probably not. 21% definitely not. And an additional poll, a Reuters poll, had it a little bit better. 80% of Americans, including more than half of Republicans, recognized Biden as the winner of the presidential election. So we do have this divide, and that divide opens the door for exactly what you're talking about with these legal challenges. And this is one of the most important things that I have taken away from listening to attorneys talk about this and, you know, high-level political analysts. The most important thing to think about when you hear people talking about these political challenges is they haven't been working. Right. So you have Trump and Republicans, you know, raising all this ruckus and chaos around the process. But at the end of the day, they have to go to court, and then you have to testify under oath that you have found some truths and you found some facts that support the fact that there has been, you know, meddling in the election. And so far, the Republicans filed 30 legal challenges. But there's been almost no progress on any of those today, because each time they show up to court, they don't have anything. And the attorneys on their side don't want to make anything up, because once you're under oath and you lie at that point, then it's potential perjury and you go to jail. So I think if anybody's trying to have a conversation with somebody who doesn't believe the elections are fair, point them in the direction of the court and the legal challenges and how they've been going. The other thing to keep in mind, Michael, is that most of these courts, at least in a lot of these states, are run by Republicans, right? For example, you just mentioned that Georgia has these massive problems. The Georgia Secretary of State that I opened the show with, you know, is a hardcore Republican, hardcore Trump supporter. And he's telling us that Republican people in the Senate, like Lindsey Graham, are coming to him and asking him to throw out legal votes. This is a person who has openly been a Trump supporter since 2016, and he is blowing the whistle on the fact that people in the Congress are coming to him asking him to throw out legal votes. So a lot of this absolutely is unprecedented, but it is good to hear the history of it as well. Right, Mike?
You know what? I thank you. Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me? Paul, can you hear me?
We can hear you. I think Michael just dropped off.
Okay, no worries. We were putting a bow in that conversation here anyway. Is Tamar on the line yet? Do you see that?
Not yet.
Still not yet? No worries. So we'll just keep it rolling then. And so, I think that's an important thing to think about and pay attention to here, people, right? The Georgia Secretary of State, who's a longtime Republican, is coming out and telling us that his fellow Republicans are asking him to throw out legal votes. Now we're getting into the point where it's not just, hearsay on their side, but there's some actual damage that is potentially being done to our democracy. And, Lindsey Graham is an absolute disgrace for that. And if there is any evidence of that, then he should absolutely resign. And I think all of us should be calling on that to happen, because that is completely unacceptable in a country that is built on democracy. So with that said, let's get into the Georgia Senate races, right? So we talked about the races that happened, obviously here in early November, but there are two very, very important Georgia Senate races that we all need to pay attention to. And here's the reason why. As it currently stands, Republicans have 50 votes in the Senate, and Democrats, along with the independents that caucus with the Democrats, have 48 votes in the Senate. And the Democrats are able to pick up these two additional seats in Georgia, then it'll be a 50-50 split, in which case the vice president makes the vote that ultimately pushes any vote over the edge. So essentially what this means is if Democrats are able to pick up these seats, they can actually do things while in the White House and while, in control of both legislative chambers. So, and that's a really big deal, because all these different things that we've been fighting for, like an updated tax code and, expansion of, Medicare and, the refunding of Obamacare, all these different things that are important to us that have motivated people to come out and vote, we want to be able to go ahead and put those things into action. But unless we get those votes, Mitch McConnell is going to continue to block everything. He won't let us get any judges through. And it'll just be more stonewalling in Washington. And so I think it is really important to make sure that we do everything we can to pay attention to that race and get out there and be motivated and, donate your money or go and make some calls to Georgia in different areas. If you have any friends or family that live in Georgia, make sure you reach out to them and make sure they know that this race is just as important as the races that we had, just a few weeks ago. It's so, so important, because it determines whether or not we can do anything at the federal level. So pay attention to that as well. And as far as the candidates on both sides, you have Kelly Loeffler on the Republican side and David Perdue. Kelly Loeffler is, what she did, she took advantage of COVID. They had an inside meeting in the Senate talking about how bad COVID was going to get. And she sold a bunch of her stocks right after that meeting. And that is what's called inside trading. And it's absolutely wrong. Normally, the Justice Department would be on that right away. She would potentially go to jail. But Trump's Justice Department just decided they weren't going to pursue her. So that's one of the people that's running on the Republican side. David Perdue, on the other side, he is a Trump extremist. And, Paul, I'm going to have you play that clip of him and the way that he's, talked about Kamala Harris. Do you have that pulled up?
The most insidious thing that Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden are trying to perpetrate, and Bernie and Elizabeth and Kamala, I don't know. Whatever.
Sure. Gotcha. And that's perfect. Glad to know that. And that's him, obviously, butchering her name, making a joke out of it. Very racist. I mean, clearly, right? I mean, she's a black woman. He would not be doing that if she wasn't. It's obvious. And so that's who he is. One of the least liked people in the Senate, coming from some Republicans in general. Then on the Democratic side, you have Ralph Warnock, who is a pastor of one of the biggest churches down there in Atlanta, and John Ossoff, who has built a pretty good name for himself as well. So, you know, there's some good candidates on the Democratic side. There's some people on the Republican side who I think literally should be in jail. You know, looking at the Kelly Loeffler situation, you know, we'll have to see what comes out of that. So I guess I shouldn't jump the gun too much and saying she should be in jail. But, you know, at its base level, it looks really, really bad. So, again, I hate to beat a dead horse here, but this race is so important. Call your friends and family. Make sure they know about it. Donate. Make calls down there. Do whatever you can because we got to win this. But with that said, we have a very, very special guest on the line. It is my actual blood brother on my father's side, Tamar Watkins. He is with us. I've been wanting to have him on the show for a long time. Tamar, you are on the family show, brother. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing, bro? Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. Hear you loud and clear. How have things been today? I know you were at an event earlier.
Yeah, we actually went to an event. They was passing out turkeys and food. Danny Davis, he was passing out stuff. So we just went up there and, you know, so
community passing things out.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, gotcha. You still here?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
you're just going
you.
In and out a little bit. I apologize.
Okay, yeah, I can
hear you. Wonderful. So, you know, with that said, brother, we've talked quite a bit because we've been at some events together recently, and your organization, SNU, has been doing a ton in the community. So I just wanted to kind of give you an opportunity to use the platform and talk about your organization, maybe some of the things that you need, some of the volunteers you may need, or just tell us what you're doing in general, any events that are coming up. And I just want to kind of give you a microphone for a minute with that.
Okay. So what SNU is an organization. SNU is a corporation that was founded by Anthony Prince. So what SNU is different, he has different organizations up under him. What he does, he has a construction company, a clothing line. What I was saying about the clothing line, we have an actual grand opening tomorrow on Western and Taylor. We're up here now. So that's what he's doing with that. And that's what I was telling you, the same thing, Anthony Prince. You have Pastor Harrell and Terry Young had started the Black Men United, the organization that I was putting you in. And we've been passing out food and toys and turkey and all that through that organization. I actually have the brother here right now. He want to talk to you, but we have a grand opening tomorrow at Western and Taylor for SNU. And then we'll continue to do the things we've been doing through Black Man United, passing out all the food and stuff through different events.
Awesome. Yeah. Feel free to put them on and tell us a little bit more about what you guys have going on.
Yeah. Here you go, right here.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing mighty well. It is a beautiful day, and I love hearing about the organization. I've seen some of the work that you all have done, and it's been phenomenal.
Man, we're just trying to empower the people, you know, and be icons like yourself, putting out a format and a voice for the people through the media, through our efforts on the streets and the clothing line and offering jobs and feeding the people, you know, just connecting with good people and great people like yourself and others to better change our conditions in our community.
Yeah, it's so important to, you know, have people that are really, you know, doing it at the ground level and really getting down there and making sure you're talking to people and seeing the needs that they have and understanding the needs of the community, because that's one of the hardest things, right? You have a lot of people who want to make a difference, but, you know, they don't really know exactly what people need. And sometimes, whether it's just giving out a turkey or like school supplies, like we did like a month ago, 2 months ago, maybe, you know, it goes a long way.
Yeah, it definitely does. You know, it's just a beautiful thing to be able to give. You know, it moves me to be able to be out here with the people and be, you know, just be an advocate of the people, period. Like you said, to give whatever it is, hand sanitizer, socks, boxes of dairy food, meat food, turkeys, whatever we can give and do. And I just take, you know, just great honor and give all glory to God for moving us to be able to move in that direction and start opening up our own businesses and things, the construction sites like, you know, tomorrow we're doing with the construction sites, yourself on the radio, you know, along with myself, the things we're trying to do to keep it going for our people.
I love that. I love that. We are going to take our 30-minute commercial break here in a second, but I want to give you guys the opportunity to let people know how they can potentially contribute, you know, to the organization, whether that's donating, whether that's volunteering. How do people find you, and then how can they help make a difference in your organization?
You know, definitely can help make a difference by just continue to doing God's will. Well, they doing that, and we can come together, you know, with different ventures because, you know, the Black Man United, a nonprofit, is, you know, we all got together on that, and the salute is the clothing line. So I have, like, a website, you know, things of that nature intact where the people can definitely reach out to it and follow it and view it and, you know, let us know how they feel about it and be a part of the movement with us. We have no problem with that.
That's wonderful. And what's the website?
Salute is the website that they can go to with the clothing, and the Instagram is what's the Instagram? Salute 2020 is the Instagram. And we go alongside me with one of our sisters too. Danielle, she's family, ain't like family. She do a lot of things in the community too, is one of the ones that help break the doors down with us with the fashion too. I definitely want to give a shout out to her. Matter of fact, I'm gonna let her give a shout out for us too.
Hi,
right.
Shout out Fashionably Unpredictable Danielle Wynn. Shop our custom pieces. You can find us on Facebook at Fashionably Unpredictable and on Instagram at Fashionably_Unpredictable.
All right.
And we could be
thank you so much, Danielle. Go ahead.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You know, we all together. So
go ahead. Give the number. Go ahead. Feel free to give out the number.
312-701-4214 and on Facebook, Danielle Wynn, DonnyellWynn.
Awesome.
Specializing in all custom merchandise. Specializing in all custom merchandise and proms and weddings and all your special occasions.
Thank you, Danielle. There's just a little delay, so whenever you start to speak, then I speak. It happens to cut each other off. So apologize about that, but I appreciate you guys letting us know about the organization, the things that you're doing. Feel free to stay on the line if you want to get into this political conversation with us. We are going to take some listener calls. But, Paul, we do got to take a quick commercial break. So if you want to go ahead and play the ad for us, that would be great. And we'll be right back here on the Ricky Henry Radio Show.
Hey, Smitty, what's up, big dog?
Man, I'm waiting for Bae to come downstairs. I got to take her to Truth Restaurant on Persian Road to make up. I really screwed up this time.
Well, why don't you buy a couple dozen roses?
Nah.
How about some diamond earrings?
I have to take her to Truth and let her lose her thoughts on those lamb chops,
ooh,
Italian cuisine, and fine wine. Yeah. You know my baby loves some good food. Here she comes. Good luck. Hi, baby.
Shut
you ready?
Up. Did you call the restaurant to make a reservation?
Yeah, of course I did, baby. I love your hair. Oh, you smell so good, baby.
Shut your mouth.
We gonna have fun.
We're gonna have fun.
Oh, that food.
Drive the car.
Hi, I'm Peyton Wilborn, the owner of Truth Italian Restaurant, located 56 East Persian Road, right after Dan Ryan. You can also call us at 312-715-8796.
You forgive me, babe.
Did you do something?
And that's the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. Hey, Peyton, can we get another round?
No, let's just go home.
Check, please.
Welcome back to the Ricky Hendon Radio Show, everyone. It is Ricky Q. Hendon with you in the studio here today. We've been talking about how things have been going since the election. This is my first show back since the election happened. We discussed the all-important Georgia Senate races. And next, we just want to talk about, you know, polling and what went wrong, right? And so if you look at the polls, they had this race not being very close at all. Biden was favored to win so many states. I had a whole polling special that I did 2 weeks before the election, two Saturdays, where I went into this really in depth. And I guess, like so many other people, I was very wrong. as I analyzed some of the information that we saw. And so, you know, what happened? Like, how does this happen? How do pollers continue to swing and, you know, miss so badly in these presidential elections? I think it comes down to a couple different factors. Number one, I think a lot of people underestimate what Trump does for the ticket. You know, Donald Trump, despite the fact that he lost, he had 73 million people come out and vote for him, which would have been the most of all time outside of what Joe Biden did with his 78, 79, right? So he brings out a lot of people, and then that helped down-ticket Republicans as well. And so that was one part of it. The other piece is that with polling these days, it's very difficult to poll the actual Trump supporter. They oftentimes don't want to talk to pollers. And if they do, not that I'm assuming or saying that they're necessarily not being honest, but for whatever reason, all of these institutions with a long record and history of being able to be at least within their own margins of error are not even close to their own margins of error. And so there's a lot of factors going on here, but that's one of the things that they point to as well. So with that said, it's really difficult to figure out at all how we can even poll moving forward with any kind of accuracy. Hopefully things in general will return back to normal here if Trump does decide that he wants to leave on January 20th, which, you know, I assume he will. And I think we'll probably see him again 4 years from now. But, you know, hopefully we do get back to some sense of normalcy after that. But those are some of the big reasons why the polling has been off. And they continue to be here for the foreseeable future. So the pollsters are going to have to adjust their methods moving forward. With that said, let's go ahead and take another listener call here. Paul, who do we have holding with us? We got nobody on the line right now. No worries. Well, we will put the listener number out there again. Again, it's 773-763-9278. Again, call us. Feel free to be a part of the show. We love when you guys engage in dialogue with us. Again, 773-763-9278. Usually lines are blown up completely. Maybe some of the political energy has been taken out of the air after the election, but we're used to having people on, so maybe I just have to give out the number a little bit more. 773-763-9278. So, Paul, let me ask you about, you know, yourself and real quick that I've got you here. We're waiting for people to call in. You know, how has it been being a part of, you know, obviously a political talk radio station, and then also just being an American living through these last, you know, couple weeks?
It's been really interesting. You know, I think it's definitely an interesting point in American history with the Donald Trump administration. So just especially to be here on the day that Biden was declared the winner, it was just kind of that sense of relief. You know, I mean, we know that we're not through the pandemic yet. We know that there's always going to be obstacles as an American as to trying to make it a better America. And, you know, the grim reality of that was still, you know, lurking behind all that celebration. But it was just really nice to have a day where I think just everyone breathed a sigh of relief knowing that the Trump administration will be over soon. There was that. And then as an American, it just felt nice to know that, you know, this country isn't crazy enough to elect Donald Trump twice to the White House. So it was kind of a relief there that, you know, people did, I think, realize the monster that they created in 2016 shouldn't have any business being in the White House past 2020.
Yeah. Amen, brother. And it sure felt like for a while on election day, that is the direction we were headed.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a rough night. I mean, I am not a person who drinks a ton, but that night I absolutely did. It was tough to go to sleep, you know, really believing that, you know, he was going to win and, you know, win by a pretty sizable margin. But ultimately, the mail-in votes are the thing that swung this back the other way. Right. You know, and to Trump's own detriment, that's something that he hurt himself with, because he told a bunch of his supporters not to go out and vote by mail. And so these votes started to come in by mail. They were almost exclusively for Biden. And it's just crazy that he decided to tell people not to vote by any means possible, because those are votes that he could have for sure secured earlier on, right? Think, for example, if you were a Trump supporter, you waited until the last week to actually go vote for Trump, right? And then somehow you get COVID, and now you literally can't vote, right? I mean, you literally can't go there and show up in person and do that with this virus, because either you're too sick or, you know, you have the compassion and the empathy to just not go do that and get potentially get other people sick. So it was really odd how it played out. The days in between, you know, Tuesday and that Saturday were very difficult, but ultimately it was nice to, you know, get that sigh of relief, like you said. I mean, I had so many people that just said that they felt hope again, right? And I think that is a very encouraging thing. But on the flip side of that, you have 73 million Americans who also felt like they either got cheated or they lost their sense of hope. And so it's a very difficult time that we're going into here, especially in these next couple months going into the holidays. But, you know, that's why I opened the show with just make sure that, you know, we're having dialogue with people that is, well, people are actually listening, taking their time, and just being compassionate with one another as we go through this process. Any callers yet?
Yeah, there's one that I want to take right now, and then we have a couple other on deck.
All right, let's go ahead and go to them now. It's so funny. You give out the number, and next thing you know, everybody's calling in. But that's how we like it. We like people to be a part of our conversation. And if you're a Trump supporter, if you're a Republican, we definitely want to hear your opinion on how all this has played out, too, before it's all said and done. So you give us a ring as well, 773-763-9278. Let's go to the caller. Caller, you're on the Ricky Hendon Radio Show. Normally, I'd be able to see your name prior, but I can't today with doing it remote. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm a Trump supporter. I should come down there and whoop your butt.
Oh, I think I know this person is just by the voice. That's my dad. What's going on, Ricky? It's Ricky.
Everything cool. I just wanted you to know that you're doing a good job. I know this is your first time doing a remote. And you know, you get the hang of it, you know, because with COVID and all that, we might be doing remote for a while. So I just wanted to urge everybody to, you know, really take care of themselves. I got a bunch of friends, different people that are sick right now, you know, and we just got to take it serious. I want to say, you know, you're doing a great job. Appreciate you letting me sit in for you last two weeks. And will I be sitting in for you next week, or you'll be back next week?
Next week I will be out in California with Mom and Scott. Well, so I'll, if you can sit in next week, that'd be great.
Okay.
Fantastic. Yeah. Let me ask you this, and this will be interesting for people to hear. You know, obviously you were in the studio the day that, you know, everything was called. And so what was that like for you? What was the energy like? What was it like being a part of the media, essentially, on that day?
Well, the funniest thing or the oddest thing is how quiet the Trump callers who call us on a regular basis were. You know, how, like, afraid or, you know, they were or ashamed, embarrassed, whatever the heck it was that they were to participate in the show that week, you know. You know, the last week going on, I got kind of like you saying, hey, let's hear everybody's voice, you know, be open-minded and be nice to Republicans and whatever, and they don't deserve it.
Well,
all right, keep up with it,
thanks, Dad. I appreciate you calling in and giving that perspective. That is Senator Ricky Hendon, everybody, for anybody who is listening to the show for the first time. I know I have some of my friends who are tuning in for the first time. I did the live read. I can do it again.
Oh, okay. All right,
too,
great. All right.
Yeah.
Have a great one.
Fantastic. Thank you. Yeah, like you said, got to make sure we get to our advertisers. But that is an interesting perspective that he brings up, is that so many supporters of Trump were extremely quiet after this happened. And that's one of the things that I noticed, too. I saw very few people that have commented or said anything about the election since then. And that is, you know, quite the opposite from what we've come to expect from people who tend to support President Trump. I could have supported, you know, online right now. But, you know, I get that, right? I mean, I get that feeling of not wanting to engage, not wanting to interact, because that's exactly how I felt in 2016. You know, it was such a large amount of disappointment that somebody who literally built his campaign and started his campaign on calling, you know, Mexicans rapists and murderers, and continue to, you know, fearmonger and, you know, incite racial tensions, could win. But on the flip side, you know, the Republicans right now, they feel like with all the quote-unquote QAnon stuff, that Democrats are just as bad in their own ways, hence the numbers of potential divisiveness that, you know, I mentioned earlier in the show. But just to kind of rewind from that, actually, I do want to bring up some numbers that actually say that maybe policy-wise, we're not nearly as divided as we think that we are. And so this may be a little encouraging, Paul, maybe something you haven't heard in a while. You ready for me to get into it?
Okay, let's get into it.
All right. So these are some numbers from the Pew Research Center, and they're pretty recent. Pew does some of the best just research in general, especially when it comes to communication studies. I did a lot of, reading of research with them when I was in college. So they are really good. But basically, in these three areas, they found that Republicans and Democrats are actually very well aligned. So when it comes to immigration and support of DACA, 74% of the country across Republicans and Democrats actually support DACA, right? The Deferred Action Against, it's the Dreamer kind of legislative header, essentially.
Okay.
DACA is, essentially. So for anybody who was brought over into the country while they were a child, you know, quote unquote illegally, this is legislation or an executive order that essentially allows them to continue to live here in America because it wasn't their fault. They're brought over as children legally. Right. And so 74% of people on both sides support that. That's a strong thing. So even though I just talked about how, you know, Donald Trump, you know, opened his campaign in 2016 with immigration concerns, to this day, 3 out of every 4 of us agree on both sides that we should be on the same side of protecting those people who came over here, who were brought over as children. That's great. That's really encouraging. Number two, when it comes to climate change, 65% of people say the government should do more to help with climate change. I personally would like to see that number a lot higher, but at the end of the day, that shows us the vast majority of people, even in today's divisive political climate, still support taking care of the environment and are starting to make that connection that so many of the fossil fuels that we've been burning are causing issues within our communities and that we need to do something about it. So that's encouraging. Majority of people support that. The last one, I think, is the most interesting because this is the one that is typically being considered, you know, the most divisive along party lines, but it's when it comes to gun reform and passing additional gun laws. So obviously Democrats are pretty heavily in favor of gun reform in general, but 92% of Republicans are in favor of people with previous mental health issues and current mental health issues not getting access to firearms. I think that makes all the sense in the world, right? Because oftentimes those are people who take their own lives or hurt other people. And I think that it's important that we're all on the same page with that. 92% of Republicans are in favor of that. Additionally, 82% of Republicans are in favor of background checks to all private sales. That's a number that I think would surprise a lot of Democrats and liberals because, again, it's one of those things that we think is such a divisive issue, but we agree on. And that particular study was only done last year in 2019. So ultimately, you know, we're not that different. And I think a lot of the divisiveness has, in my opinion, personally come from the current president. But there's also some external factors as well. But I can tell you, Paul, you know, as somebody who has continued to have conversations and dialogues with Trump supporters, with Republicans, with moderates, with liberals, with radical leftists, with, you know, your moderate leftists, you know, we really aren't that different. And we want a lot of the same things for ourselves, for our families, and for our countries. And I think that we can get back to normal if we all just pay attention to those facts.
But do you think the Republican Party is going to drift in a direction that Trump took it? Or do you think there are a lot of Republicans that actually do want to stick with those issues over time?
No, people from what I've heard within the Republican Party are, they don't like this, right? I mean, the active and sitting senators and congresspeople, you know, a lot of them are going along with it because Trump got out 73 million people. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they're protecting their jobs in a lot of senses, but they don't, I mean, these are powerful, important, intelligent people that have gotten, which is what have gotten into position. They don't like one person controlling them and telling them what they have to do and what direction they have to go in. So they're ready to dump Trump. Honestly, when it comes to how they have viewed it, this particular election cycle has gone essentially perfectly outside of Georgia potentially going to Democrats because they got to get rid of Trump. They got to actually take over more state houses than they lost, where coming into the races, people thought the Democrats were going to pick up a couple state houses. And they also cut down the Democratic lead in the House as well. And as it stands today, technically they have retained the Senate. So they kind of got everything that they want. I think that they are going to get back to normal a little bit because Trump's not even somebody who's really a believer in Republican principles. I mean, it's just not true, right? And you look at the way that he's managed some of his businesses and his debt and the fact that he's continued to increase the national debt, national deficit, you know, with the good economy. I mean, that could not be more of an anti-fiscally conservative thing to be doing. And so they're ready to get rid of him, I believe. But again, this could be me being naive. We'll see. let's take another listener call here. Who we got on the line with us now, Paul?
All right. This is Jose from Chicago.
Jose, what's going on, brother? You are on the Ricky Hinton Radio Show.
What's up, partner? First of all, for the record,
doing well.
I'm a Democrat, and I've been a Democrat all my life. And as far as the polls were concerned, I'll be honest with you, a lot of people, a lot of Trump supporters weren't coming out and telling anybody that they were Trump supporters, especially in blue cities and blue states like this one, because they were afraid of what would happen to them. Because, you know, you watch TV all summer and you see all these Antifa and all these Black Lives Matter people on the streets looting and protesting. So people that were new Trump supporters, because there's 10 million more people, 10 million more votes that he got at this election as opposed to the one from his prior election. So he got more votes this time, and a lot of those were Latinos. And I'm one of those. I supported Trump in this election. I didn't support him never before, but for some reason, the last 4 years that he's been in office, things have been great for me and my family, money-wise. And at the end of the day, that's all we care about, is money in my pocket.
Right. Yes, let's dig into that because I think a lot of people want to just know more about that. I know that I've seen people kind of coming at Latino voters for supporting Trump, and I've got some good friends of mine who do as well. So you say for you, you know, money, and you know, I agree with a lot of that sentiment, right? At the end of the day, nothing's more important than a job. You don't have a job, Jose, you can't support your family, you know, especially, you know, as a man, you're going to feel emasculated. You're going to feel hopeless. And so just tell me more about that. Like,
exactly.
How have you gotten more money? What has happened specifically under the Trump administration that has let you, you know, thrive more?
Okay. I'll give you an example. The 8 years of Obama's administration, I got laid off, and I don't blame Obama for that. I got laid off in 2009. I was part of that big layoff that they had in this country in 2009. And I'm not blaming Obama for it. But the 8 years after that, I couldn't find a full-time job. Even if I wanted to buy one from somebody, I couldn't find one. And all of a sudden, Trump becomes president, and I got a full-time job. My daughters all got full-time jobs. My wife got a full-time job. And we're able to keep these jobs. And these are well-paid jobs, too. Because even when during Obama's administration, yeah, I got a part-time job here, a seasonal job there, with no benefits. So I was working just for a check. And when you live through that, and then you got a guy like Trump who opens up your eyes, and he's putting money in your pocket, and the people that you love, you know, you got to, it's like he said, man, what you got to lose? And that's what I did. Me and my whole family, we supported Trump on this one. And
okay,
we're Democrats.
Two questions for you.
And
what,
we're still conservative.
What kind of jobs? I'm just curious. What kind of jobs did you all get? Like, what kind of sector of jobs?
I'm a truck driver.
Okay.
And my wife is a school teacher. And my daughters are one of my daughters is also a truck driver, and the other one's in school right now.
That's beautiful. I'm happy to hear that has changed around. And again,
thank you.
I can see benefits on both sides. Let me ask you this, my last thing, because we do have to wrap up the show. It goes so quick these days. How do you weigh? Let me ask you this. You sound like you may be Latino, Hispanic. I don't want to assume that, but are you?
I'm Hispanic. I'm not Latino. No, I'm Puerto Rican.
Yeah, you're Puerto Rican. Okay, gotcha. So yeah. You may see a little difference. Maybe somebody who's Mexican and he came out and said those particular comments, but just in general, right? He's obviously done some things to race bait, you know, fear and some hatred against Latinos. Like, how do you weigh, you know, that and the impact that may have on you socially versus the economic side?
Well, see, I thought about all that too. Okay. And mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a little rough on the edges, but Biden is not any better. Biden's history is not any better than Trump's. In fact, Biden is probably worse. And a lot, and that's another thing that Trump did to us. He opened up our eyes with the media, man. The media is fake. The media will say, and I'm a news junkie. And I've stepped back ever since Trump's administration because I'll watch the media and they'll say things that aren't happening in the country or in the world. And I'll read somewhere else and I'll see with my own eyes that things are getting better. But if you watch the news, things are getting worse. And once again,
so
not getting away from the racial.
Let me cut
subject.
You off.
But Biden, listen.
Right, Jose, hold on, Jose. I don't want to cut you off, but I do because we have to wrap up the show, unfortunately. But thank you for calling in. I appreciate your perspective. We just happen to be at the top of the hour here. But with that said, everybody, thank you for listening to the Ricky Hendon Radio Show, our first show back. Again, apologies for the technical difficulties that we experienced earlier. I want to extend a thank you to my brother, Tamar Watkins, for coming on and talking about some of the social work that he's been doing with the organization SANU. I want to thank all of our sponsors as well, Truth Italian Restaurant. Feel free to check out the show on SoundCloud. We have a Facebook Live video. But if you go to WCPT820.com, you can always follow us there. And they also have a WCPT 820 page on SoundCloud where you can re-listen to each episode of the show. Thank you. It has been beautiful. Everybody stay blessed. Continue to spread the love. And happy holidays. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Three or four.